Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is side one of For the Record program number 538, titled Bush's Buddy, the Acquittal of Sammy the Aryan. This has been recorded on December 11th of the year 2005. And before we get into some text material, once again, it is my pleasure and privilege to present an individual whom I consider to be a genuine American hero. And since this is radio, you probably can't see him blush. But we're delighted to be joined on our airwaves again by John Loftus, the author of, among other titles, The Ballaras Secret, and with his co-author Mark Arons, A Secret War Against the Jews and an Unholy Trinity. John, welcome back once again to our airwaves.
Thanks, Dave. Always a pleasure.
Well, this past week has seen a major legal case with which you've been involved get something of a resolution. Sammy Al-Aryan, or as I refer to him, Sammy the Aryan, was acquitted of a number of charges against him, and there were deadlocked juries on a number of others. I wonder if you could give us a little bit of a history of Palestinian Islamic Jihad, an organization with which he is affiliated, and the Muslim Brotherhood, and then bring that on up into your lawsuit against Sammy Al-Aryan and the things that came from that.
Sure. I was a lawyer for the Attorney General of the United States, and ever since private practice handling very high-level security cases for people retired from the intelligence service. You'll get an idea about some of my clients if you look at IntelligenceSummit.org, and you'll see former heads of CIA, British Intelligence, Mossad.
By the way, John, at the end of this interview, let's talk about that and give that another plug.
Oh,
go ahead.
Sure. Yep. Thank you. Yeah. Yep. But what I discovered was the Muslim Brotherhood was a Nazi organization founded by a guy named Hassel al-Banna. And don't take my word for it. Just type in the word B-A-N-N-A and the word Nazi, and you'll get a couple of interesting articles. Okay. More, by the way, than appear at the right now, inside the CIA's files. Mm-hmm. All the CIA's files for the Muslim Brotherhood have been shredded. There's a buddy of mine, Bob Baer, wrote in his book, The Secret War, about the Saudis, The Sleeping with the Devil, that when he went to look at the records of the Muslim Brotherhood and CIA, they were all gone. There were just a few shreds remaining. Now, Bob, by the way, not to plug things, but Bob has a nice little movie out this week called Syriana. And it's about George Clooney plays Bob, and it's about how the oil companies have taken over the intelligence organizations. Kind of an interesting education. But anyway, getting back to the main topic, the Muslim Brotherhood was a Nazi organization, worked for Third Reich Intelligence up until 1945. British Secret Service took them over, used them to fight against the Jews in 1948. British sold them to the CIA, which hid them in Saudi Arabia. The CIA and the Saudis used them in Afghanistan to fight the Russians. So the Muslim Brotherhood is sort of the parent organization of all the Sunni-based terrorist organizations. And there are about a dozen of them. The big ones, you know, is Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Sami Al-Aryan's group, the Egyptian Islamic Jihad, which is al-Zawahiri's group, which is the backbone of al-Qaeda, on and on and on. So these are guys that are phenomenally ultra-right-wing. There's not an ounce of difference between the al-Qaeda philosophy, the Muslim Brotherhood philosophy, and the Nazi philosophy. They're utterly opposed to Western culture, concepts of democracy, and above all, anyone that treats Jews with dignity.
And they were allied with the Third Reich in World War II.
Oh, big time, big time. The Muslim Brotherhood representative in Palestine was al-Haj Amin. He was the Hitler's favorite Nazi. He was the Muslim Brotherhood leader in Palestine, was brought to Europe and recruited Muslims over there. He was sort of the progenitor of the Yasser Arafat's clan. So there were lots of Nazis in those days. I mean, Sadat, for example, was a member of the Nazi Brotherhood. Saddam Hussein, his uncle, was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, who was in charge, in fact, of the attempted coup in Iraq, the Nazi coup that was beaten back by the British.
Mm-hmm. Interesting that there was an article in the Asia Times in the spring of 2002, John, that alleged that Youssef Nader, head of the Bank al-Taqwa, himself a Nazi spy, actually helped the Grand Mufti, the aforementioned Haj Amin al-Husseini, escape from Germany to Palestine at the end of World War II.
Yeah, that and the little help of the French Secret Service, the Haj Amin, was in French custody in the war and was conveniently released slash escaped to come to British custody. So the British recruited all the ex-Arab Nazis. And my God, there was a half a million man network. The Arab Nazi network was a big play. And none of them were ever prosecuted because the British hid them. CIA eventually took them over, and the Saudis put them on the payroll. So from the Saudi point of view, the Arab Nazis from Egypt had one great qualification. They were literate. They could become the school teachers. And so for an entire generation, the children of Saudi Arabia were taught by bona fide Nazis. I mean, genuine World War II, we love Hitler Nazis.
Mm-hmm. This is a point that I want to underscore for members of the audience, John, because in certain circles, in particular in California, elements of the so-called progressive community have been making Muslim Brotherhood people out to be not only peaceful but democratic, and in the case of Sami Al-Arian, martyrs and political victims and so forth.
Oh, no, please. I know the whole history of the Muslim Brotherhood, and I know the entire history of Sami Al-Arian. Mm-hmm. Now, we should have had a conviction this week, except for one guy. His name is James Moody, and James Moody was the federal district court judge in the Sami Al-Arian case. And Judge Moody came up with an interesting, quite novel interpretation of the applicable law. He told the jury it would not be enough if the government proved that Sami Al-Arian was a member of a terrorist group, Islamic Jihad. Not enough to convict him. It's not enough if the government proved that Sami Al-Arian donated money for Islamic Jihad. Not enough to convict him. The government would have to prove that Al-Arian donated money for Islamic Jihad with the intent that his money specifically went for terrorist attack purposes and not for charitable purposes. Now, how do you prove that kind of secret intent?
Well, obviously, I was not aware of that aspect of the case, but obviously, you know, without being able to track the specific bills or checks, I mean, there isn't money. Money donated to an organization goes into a pool.
It's fungible goods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as it turns out, there was a piece of evidence that was not admissible, but which proved Sami Al-Arian's guilt, and that was a wiretap going back to 1989 from one of our allied friendly intelligence services. And it was a wiretap of Sami Al-Arian screaming into the telephone that Hamas had taken the credit for the killing that Sami Al-Arian had paid for. And this was hurting his fundraising in the future. So that was a smoking gun. It would have proved Al-Arian's guilt no matter what standards. But, you know, unfortunately, that bit wasn't introduced in the court.
Just parenthetically, John, Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad are both offshoots of the Islamic Association for Palestine, which is the Palestinian branch of the fascist Muslim Brotherhood.
Correct. And the Association of Islamic and Palestine is also the parent organization of CARE, the big lobbying group in the U.S., which, you know, praised Sami Al-Arian. In fact, Sami Al-Arian threw dinners to support the number one terrorist lobbyist in America was a guy named Grover Norquist. And Norquist was a lobbyist not only for Al-Arian, but for Al-Amudi and other groups. Norquist was one of these right-wing Republican guys that had superb access to the White House through his best buddy, the White House Chief of Staff, Karl Rove. And so when moderate Muslims couldn't get to see the president, you get guys like Al-Amudi and Al-Arian getting their pictures taken with the president.
Mm-hmm.
It was comic opera stuff.
And basically, the people like Abdurrahman Al-Amudi, Sami Al-Arian, and others were part of the right-wing Republican machine. I mean, Grover Norquist and Karl Rove are arguably the two most important GOP linchpins in terms of
Al-Arian is plausibly the most important Republican operative in America because in the last two elections, he promised President Bush that he would deliver enough of an Arab vote in the state of Florida to offset the Jewish vote and win the votes of Florida for President Bush.
Mm-hmm.
So that made Sami Al-Arian the number one Republican hero.
Mm-hmm. And he was photographed with, he and his family photographed with George Bush and Laura during the 2000 campaign.
Yeah, and his son was actually thrown out of the White House when the Secret Service had his son listed as a terrorist. And you know, the Norquist side had him listed as a good Republican donor, so a little conflict there.
So there actually was a wiretap of Sami Al-Arian railing against Hamas for having taken credit for a killing that he paid for.
Yeah, that goes all the way back to 1989. That was, as far as I can tell, that was the first intelligence breakthrough. Now, in 1990, the FBI went to interview Al-Arian. At the same time, the Israelis had a super spy infiltrate the headquarters of Islamic Jihad and knew about Al-Arian, knew about his fellow professor, Al-Rashan. They had the whole thing wired, despite knowing, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Sami Al-Arian was a terrorist leader. In 1991, 2 years after the wiretap, the FBI asked Sami Al-Arian to be their informant. Isn't that cynical?
No, wait a minute. After the wiretap, the FBI...
After the wiretap, after the Israeli source confirmed that Al-Arian was a terrorist, after those two things, our FBI, in 1991, tried to recruit Sami Al-Arian to be their informant.
Did he actually, do you know, ever assume informant status?
No, we know from the court records that Al-Arian turned them down. Invited him to attend his meetings, but he refused to become a paid informant for the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
So the FBI, it's naivete. They had one of the biggest terrorists in the world, and they just, instead of prosecuting him, tried to recruit him. So that gives you part one of why this case took so long to prosecute.
Now, you eventually got involved directly and personally with the Al-Arian situation. Could you fill us in on that, John?
Sure. A bunch of my buddies came to me and said, look, the FBI, the Justice Department, they're never going to touch this man. He's one of the worst terrorists in the world. And the reason they won't touch him is that almost all of his money comes from the Saudi government. There are these Saudi front groups at Herndon, Virginia, that launder charitable money down to every terrorist group in the world. Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Egyptian Islamic Jihad. So no one's going to touch them. So they're using this whole charitable system. They're actually getting American tax deductions for terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And no one wants to embarrass the Saudis. I said, I don't mind embarrassing them. So I donated money to Sami Al-Arian's charities. Wrote my own checks, sent my own cash in, because I knew that under Florida law, that would give me standing to sue to find out where my charitable donations were going. Now, I cleared this whole lawsuit with CIA, FBI, the investigators. It was very controversial. CIA loved it, of course. They said, go ahead. We're sick and tired of the Saudi stranglehold American foreign policy. The FBI was very upset, and they sent two guys to my doorstep saying, come on, there were 18 guys in the U.S. that knew this stuff. Now you're 19. How did you find out?
Mm-hmm.
I said, sorry, I can't tell you. Attorney-client privilege. Now, the day before I went to file the lawsuit, I got a frantic phone call from the U.S. Department of Justice saying, please don't file the lawsuit tomorrow. Just give us a little more time. We're really going to raid all these Saudi charities at Herndon, Virginia, and shut them down. We're going to do the right thing. I said, I know you will. I know you will. You told me that in January and again in February. And now it's March. You want more time? Fine. You got till 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Because at 10 o'clock, I file my lawsuit, and you will either raid the charities or you won't. So at 10 o'clock, I filed my lawsuit. At 10:15, the U.S. government launched Operation GreenQuest, a massive raid against the Saudi charities, precisely at 555 Grove Street, Herndon, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And as Al-Arian, the court documents prove unequivocally, that was the primary source for Al-Arian's funding for terrorism, were these Saudi charities. Now, so the Al-Arian case I was able to expose into a major scandal. But you know what happened? The Saudi charities that funnel money to Al-Arian, they were never prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are in way, way too deep. I was meeting with some Justice Department prosecutors, and they said, oh, no, this couldn't be true, couldn't be true. I said, I'll tell you what. You go back and look and see if the IIRO, the International Islamic Relief Organization, that's the group that we know now funneled money to Hezbollah and Holy Land Foundations, the Chicago Foundation, Sami Al-Arian. This is this is a group that has funneled money through every terrorist group in the world. And you know what? They're still not listed as a specially designated terrorist organization. And the prosecutors were stunned. They said, what do you mean? He said, I'm telling you that there's this one terrorist group that is not listed, the IIRO. and there's been now we have multiple convictions in American courts that this was the parent group that laundered the money to terrorist groups. The prosecutors looked sort of stunned. They said, why not? And I said, because it's part of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
The Saudis and the Muslim Brotherhood are the blackmail at the head of President Bush and his daddy. It is a huge scandal. It is the last battle of World War II. Our grandparents didn't finish the job against the Arab Nazis. They have come back to haunt us. They have come back as Al-Qaeda. That's not an exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lesson from history.
Yeah. By the way, the specific names to the networks operating out of 555 Grove Street, where it was called the SAR Network and the SAFA Trust, heavily overlapped. This once again, that these same networks were fronted for by people like Grover Norquist and Karl Rove and the Norquist Islamic Institute. Tell us about Norquist Islamic Institute, John.
The Islamic Institute was funded with donations from Al-Mawlid Jay. He had tens of thousands of dollars, and they set up, you know, this Islamic Institute that. You know, the principal donor of it has now pled guilty to being a terrorist. Doesn't seem to bother Grover Norquist whatsoever. The bottom line was that these were Arabs that would deliver Florida for Nixon. The Arabs were America's answer to the Jewish vote for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And people like Norquist fell for it. Now, Norquist, like his predecessors, they should have taken a look. Who are the guys we're working with? Are these guys Nazis after World War II, the Eastern European folk? And they didn't want to know. Norquist held his nose, closed his eyes, and got in bed with these fellas. It will come back to haunt the Republican Party for decades.
Mm-hmm. Basically, what we have is Norquist working as a lobbyist through his Islamic Institute for an Arab Nazi group, which in turn was heavily overlapped with the GOP and the Bush administration.
Oh, sure. Sami Alarian threw a big dinner for Grover Norquist and to honor him for his work, among other things, in blocking federal efforts to investigate Arab Americans for connections to terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the ultimate PC correctness. Don't get me wrong. I'm a liberal on human rights and the environment. I'm conservative on crime and government spending. I'm moderate on defense and foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an old-fashioned Scoop Jackson Democrat. But what happened here was just simple corruption. Here we had a powerful lobbyist. Now, Grover Norquist, for those who don't know, he's the guy that brought America Newt Gingrich.
Mm-hmm.
He is the guy that brought America the NRA. He's the guy that brought America Taxpayers for America. And he is the guy who is the lobbyist for the terrorist groups.
Mm-hmm.
And he happens to also be the best friend of the White House Chief of Staff.
Yeah, I mean, basically what we have is we have arguably the brightest stars in the Republican firmament fronting for not only the terrorists who attacked us on September 11th, but a terrorist group which is an outcropping of an Arab Nazi organization.
You know, as much as I would love to tease my Republican friends, this really has been a bipartisan scandal.
Mm-hmm.
For the last 50 years, the Muslim Brotherhood has hung around the fringes of U.S. intelligence. It has been awful. We used them in Afghanistan to fight the Russians. We called them Mujahideen instead of the Muslim Brotherhood. But it was the same group.
Yep.
Azam, the head of the Mujahideen, was Muslim Brotherhood leader. Al-Zawahiri, the right-hand man of Osama bin Laden, was a Muslim Brotherhood leader.
And Azam was bin Laden's mentor.
Of course.
Yeah.
So this is the old hand of the Muslim Brotherhood. These are the Arab Nazi movement come alive in the 1990s and 2000s.
Yeah, and this is a point that I can't stress strongly enough for listeners. And, talking about the whole PC question, John, and when I've talked about this and people say, Dave Emery thinks everybody's a Nazi, or, people scoff
at
this.
You're absolutely right. You're pure as the driven snow on this one. If you don't believe this, type in the word BANA,
mm-hmm.
B-A-N-N-A, and Nazi, and that will give you a whole series of articles that will independently document what I'm talking about.
There's
more in that Google search of Bana and Nazi than you'll find the entire CIA files.
Yep. There's one thing that I've been doing on my website, John, is putting up some of these old anti-fascist books. But these are books that people have forgotten about. One of them is a book called Cairo to Damascus by an anti-fascist writer named John Roy Carlson. He was best known for a book called Undercover about the Nazi Fifth Column in the United States prior to and during World War II. But his last book, which was published in 1951, was about Cairo, called Cairo to Damascus, and it was about the Nazi and fascist recrudescence in the Middle East. And he actually has an interview with Hassan al-Banna, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, and he talks about this Nazi recrudescence in the Middle East after World War II, and says quite prophetically that he felt that unless this situation was satisfactorily resolved, it would threaten the future of world peace in no uncertain terms. And listeners can now download that book for free from the Spitfire website. So there's actually an interview with Hassan al-Banna.
Amazing. Please drop that to my website. It's loftus@intelligencesummit.org.
Okay, will do.
And the readers can contact me through that, loftus@intelligencesummit.org.
Fantastic. It would be a pleasure to do that. And it's a very disturbing state of affairs, too. By the way, in the description for this program, as well as for some of the other programs, there will be a link to a picture of a Palestinian Islamic Jihad rally from April 15th of 2005, where the participants are giving the Nazi salute in no uncertain terms. And they say a picture is worth a thousand words. And this one most assuredly is, because it's been quite disconcerting for me personally to have to confront this rhetorical onslaught where this character, Sammy, I call him Sammy the Aryan, is being represented as a political martyr and an advocate of social justice and so on. It's disgusting.
These are just the holdovers from the old Arab Nazi movement, like Saddam Hussein's uncle, the man who raised him. He was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. He was an Arab Nazi, and he was part of the Arab Nazi attempted coup in Iraq during World War II. The British beat it back. They tried to establish a Nazi state in Iraq. There were guys like Sadat who were outright members of the Nazi Party. Almost all of the early leaders, including, by the way, the Palestinian Yasser Arafat, his family, were absolutely in bed with the Nazi rulers of Palestine. They were simply 100% cooperative with them. So when you think about it, there's really not much difference between the Nazi philosophy and the al-Qaeda philosophy. I mean, to hate Jews, Western culture, and democracy. Those are the three big checkoffs that you can see how they're exactly the same. And they should be. They're descended one from the other.
Yeah, and very quickly, John, by way of concluding this interview, one of the things that overlaps heavily, we've already touched on it, but one of the things that heavily overlaps the milieu that were targeted on March 20th of 2002 as a result of the paperwork from your lawsuit was the Bank Altaqua, and that directly overlaps this whole milieu, the SAR.
Oh, precisely. There's an old Nazi bank, all World War II Nazis, and they pop up now, and they're involved with the new Nazis, the second generation. They're funding money to al-Qaeda. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, John, Intelligence Summit. Tell us about that. Let's get another plug in for that.
Dave, you have to promise me that you'll come. I'll tell you what. This is a convention we do once a year. We bring together media, Congress people, but most importantly, we bring in the leaders and top analysts of the intelligence services from the United States, Canada, Britain, Mossad, Asia. If you want to sit down for one weekend and get the best education in your life, you'll sit down with former heads of CIA, former chair of the British Joint Intelligence Committee, the top-notch analysts from around the world. One weekend, there's a rule here, okay? Quote what's said, but you cannot quote who said it or from what agency.
Right.
We want to be one weekend a year where everyone can get a chance to meet with the best of the best and find out what they think. And have them listen to what you have to say. So we're doing this. We have a charitable organization that sponsors this. We don't make a profit from it, but we need public participation. We would invite the public and the press to come if you'll follow the rule, but not for attribution rule. But to find out more about it, go to intelligencesummit.org.
Yep. Well, I'll be there if I can. It's going to be a question of whether I can get some time off from work and whether I can also get financing for it.
If you come, you won't regret it. Some of the most fun things happen in the hallways. I'll tell you a little secret. One of the U.S. intelligence agencies asked me to invite every Iranian dissident group in the world. to come to the convention. So I'm going to have one whole track of just Iranian dissidents. And it's going to be the kind of people you may see in the headlines in the years to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the very least, I'm going to get information to be. If I can't make it, and that's questionable because I have to work a day job, and it's rugged, and the work climate out there isn't getting any better these days. So
no.
Competition is rough. But at the very least, I'm going to get some material to some people to get to the people there. Now, the website for this again is www.intelligencesummit.org. Alrighty. John, you have another website as well, do you not?
Oh, just john-loftus.com, sort of my personal website.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, and I will get you the link to the book Cairo to Damascus by John Rick Carlson. Yeah, we've got that up there, and that and some of these other old anti-fascist books are available for download for free. I'll get you the link to that.
It's important that the old anti-fascist stuff be preserved for history. So much of it has crept forward into our generation. Because we didn't do a good job of finishing off the last war.
Yep, and indeed, with Al-Qaeda, with Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hamas, Sami al-Aryan, their links to the Bushes, who themselves have some of those connections, we're seeing, I guess, to corrupt a popular phrase, the song is over, but the malady lingers on.
Yeah, you know, and the funny thing is, the current President Bush is very different than his father and his grandfather. If his grandfather, Prescott Bush, were alive today, I would push to have him indicted for treason. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's how bad that he had crossed the line. This President Bush is a nice guy. He reads his speech as well, but his speech writers terrify me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. Well, he's got people like Grover Norquist and Karl Rove in there, and
yeah.
That's what more with friends like that, as the expression goes. Who
yeah.
needs enemies, you know? And through those openings and his family's relations with the Saudis, we've got the Muslim Brotherhood and the whole concatenation.
Well, the irony is the current Bush is very opposed to his dad's relationship with the Saudis, that he's sort of the renegade member of the family. Interesting stuff.
Yep. Well, we'll see. We'll see how this all plays out.
Oh yeah, fascinating part of history.
It is. Well, John, thank you so much for your heroic efforts.
Oh, always
again.
A pleasure, Dave. I'm glad to be with you.
And again, I think that you're something of a role model for young people. You're a genuine American hero, and I don't hand out compliments easily. I'm a salty SOB.
Very kind. I just think it's important that in every generation there are people who will stand up and tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may.
Yes, indeed. All righty. Well, John, thank you so much for your efforts, and thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
All righty. We have been visiting with John Loftus, the former Justice Department investigator and, a true American hero, the author of, among other titles, The Belarus Secret and with Mark Arons, A Secret War Against the Jews and Unholy Trinity. Inside two of this broadcast, we're going to be discussing the Sami al-Aryan case and some of the aspects of the prosecution and some of the things that he's been doing. That, however, will be inside two. This concludes side one. For the record, program number 538, Bush's Buddy, the acquittal of Sami the Aryan, being recorded on December 11th of 2005. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.